The Bible said here in Philippians chapter number 3, in verse 10, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Can I tell you, 2018 is behind us. It's behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. We ought to learn from it. Amen? But Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now watch this. And he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I guess I'm going to talk to us for a little bit this morning about what are we reaching for as we reach forth in this new year. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If correctly read, that's verse 10 down through verse number 14. You can be seated, and please pray with us this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for these precious people that have gathered here today. Lord, only you know the need of every heart and every life that's gathered under this roof today. I pray, God, that you knowing the need, that, Lord, you would meet that need, whatever it might be in each heart and in each life. I pray you'd challenge us today, Lord, from the Word of God. I pray you'd stir us in the morning and in the evening service, Lord. God, I pray that you'd touch us, help us to be a blessing to our people. In Jesus' name, amen. There's four things that I'd like to magnify in this text this morning. And I think that I kind of got a little bit worried in Sunday school because Brother Brian, he danced all around it. Then Brother Thurman, he had to jump in there. Amen. He got on it too. I was almost ready to just pack up my Bible and go home. I said, they got this. Amen. But anyway, I want to give you some things this morning the Lord spoke to my heart about. And these things that we're reaching for. The first thing I saw that I think we should be concentrating on, listen to me carefully, in the first verse of this chapter, the Bible said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I believe that we should be concentrating on that as we reach forth. I want to say this. I'm going to use two words throughout the sermon, throughout the message that God's put on my heart. And those two words are in Christ. You realize today that the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring. I'm not standing here this morning boasting about another year or about but I am telling you this. That's one thing I want to reach for, is to be able to rejoice in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that's worthy of our praise. He's the only one that is consistent. Beloved, things are going to change throughout the year. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the Apostle Paul could rejoice in Christ Jesus, then you and I can rejoice in Christ Jesus. I believe there's a couple of things here that we need to look at. First of all, Paul is rejoicing in his relationship. He is not rejoicing in religion. There's a lot of people, that's all they have today is religion. That's all they'll have for 2019 is religion. But Paul's not rejoicing in religion. If you read down through the text here, he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, he talked about circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, the righteousness, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. Paul is not rejoicing, beloved, in religion. Religion had let him down. Religion had let Nicodemus down. That religious man came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you don't need some more religion. You need a relationship. You need to be born again. Amen? And I believe that's one of the struggles that goes on in the church world, beloved, today. Listen, we must be born again if we're going to make heaven our home when we leave this world. And Paul is not rejoicing in his religion, but he's rejoicing in the fact that he met a man on the Damascus Road called Jesus, the Savior of the world. Amen? And then not only is Paul rejoicing in relationship and not religion, but Paul is rejoicing in faith, not in the flesh. You come down here, he said, beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice, look at it, in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. One of the things that God will magnify when I read those resolutions tonight by that man that lived, I believe, 53 or 54 years old and died of smallpox, Jonathan Edwards, you're going to find out when you see in those resolutions, he had no confidence in the flesh. I'll tell you this, beloved, you and I can't afford to put any confidence in our flesh. Our confidence must be in the Lord, amen? And we must walk by faith and not by sight. And so as we reach forth into the new year to those things which are before, we ought to be rejoicing in Christ Jesus and concentrating on that. The second thing I see is the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. You see, there's no righteousness outside of Christ Jesus. Beloved, listen to me carefully. You don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. Listen to me carefully. In order to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. Only perfection is going to go into heaven. You say, well, preacher, I'm not perfect. No, not all in all you're not. There's a part of you that's not. But if you've been born again, there's a part of you that is. And that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been imputed to you because you believed on Him. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. The only way that you and I can be in a right standing before God is He looks at you and I. He doesn't see you and I, but He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus, His righteousness, His blood has been applied, and He sees us, beloved, already according to Romans 8, in glory, amen, perfected in Him. Beloved, listen, the righteousness in Christ, I believe that when we concentrate on that, there's a couple of things here. First of all, it ought to cause us to want to be faithful to Him. Look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Beloved, I believe that if we're concentrating in rejoicing and as we reach forth, if we're concentrating in His righteousness as we reach forth, that it would cause us to want to be faithful unto Him. Don't you? Amen. To be faithful to the Lord. And then let me give you this secondly. I'm trying to get to the meat in a minute. But I also want to be found in Him. Watch what the Bible said here in verse number 9. The Bible said, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm headed into a new year. I'm reaching forward. Beloved, I want to be rejoicing, but I tell you what I want to concentrate on, not just rejoicing, but I want to concentrate on His righteousness because, beloved, that is worthy to rejoice over, and I want to concentrate on this fact. I don't know where life will take me in this year, but I know this. If the rapture happens, I'll be found in Him. I know this. If I leave this world at an intersection somewhere, I'll be found in Him. I know this. If I leave this world in the third floor of Wilcox Hall down in Holston Valley, I'll be found in Him. And that's what I want to rejoice in this morning, beloved. A lot of things may change in my life and your life as we reach forth. But thank God one thing will never change. February the 22nd, 1987, the Holy Ghost put me
in Him. And that's where He's going to find me, in Him. Amen. A lot of people say, well, I want to be found in the church. If it's church time, I'd like to be in the church. Say amen. But I tell you, the main thing is not to be found in the church. The main thing is not to be found in the baptistry. The main thing is not to be found in your righteousness. The main thing is to be found in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would He find you today? Listen, the other day, I guess it's been reported, but there was an explosion over here. I was standing in Bloomingdale when it happened. And the thought that went through my mind, now listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, no, no. Let me just tell you the thought that went through my mind. I wasn't thinking about dying. I wasn't thinking about the end of time. I wasn't thinking about any of that. What I was thinking about, if man can make something that loud, how loud's it going to be when the Lord, my friend, steps out on a cloud and says, come up hither! And it's so loud, beloved, that it'll wake the dead. And everybody around the globe that's been born again will hear His voice. And we'll leave the ground and go be with Him. Amen. It's going to happen suddenly. That's what the Word of God said. It's going to happen suddenly. But I'm going to tell you this, it's going to happen surely. Amen. He is coming. So as we reach forward, think about rejoicing. Think about His righteousness. That'll be a blessing to you as we reach forth. And then there's a resurrection in Christ Jesus that we ought to concentrate on as we reach forth. Notice in verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Brother Brian, you did it. God used you in Sunday school, brother. But you know where we're living today? We're living in a day that where people want to experience the power of His resurrection. Listen to me carefully. But they don't want to experience the fellowship of His suffering. I'm telling you, beloved, you listen to me. I turned on the TV the other day, and one of them TV preachers was on there talking about sowing that $1,000 seed and said, get your credit card out if you ain't got no money. And sow it with your credit card. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you stories, he said, about people sowed it with a credit card. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That's a bunch of junk. Them people, beloved, telling you that if you're right with God, you'll never suffer. I got a Bible. I got a book that says there was some Holy Ghost men, Holy Ghost filled women that suffered while they walked down here in this world. And beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, when you're talking about the resurrection of Jesus, that's where you're going to find the power to make it through the suffering that we must go through from time to time down here in this world. There's power in life. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm telling you, beloved, through Jesus Christ and His resurrection, you can find the power to live and to reach forth for those things that are before you as we head into another year. Amen. But not only is there power in life, but thank God through His resurrection, there's power in death. Amen. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Somebody said one time, the devil's the only one that's ever been that doesn't have the keys to his own business. Jesus took the keys away from him, and he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And beloved, listen, we're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory that's already been won. Thank the Lord this morning for the resurrection. There's power in life through the resurrection. There's power in death through the resurrection. Let me give you this now. This is where I wanted to get to, this reaching forth. All of it's in Christ. We're supposed to rejoice in Christ. Our righteousness is in Christ. Our resurrection's in Christ. It looks to me like it's pretty important to be in Christ. Say amen. It's pretty important. It's very important. You say, I don't know what difference that makes. I'll tell you what difference it makes, heaven or hell. I'll tell you something else that makes a difference in this life. You can live an abundant life. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Or you can live in defeat. You can live in despair. You can live in discouragement. You can live in depression. Say amen this morning. But I'm telling you, in Christ Jesus, you can have victory in your life. Amen. In Christ, the resurrection in Christ Jesus. Let me give you this last thing this morning. I'm talking about reaching forth in Christ Jesus. Reaching forth, not outside of Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. The Bible said over there in the book of James, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and we'll continue there a year, we'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Let me just say this. As long as I'm living, I know it's the Lord's will for me to rejoice in Christ Jesus. As long as I'm living and breathing, I know it's God's will for me to never forget that my righteousness is as filthy rags. It's His righteousness that made the difference in my life. As long as I live and breathe, I believe I ought to be looking for that day when Jesus will come again and there'll be a resurrection of God's precious people. Amen. But let me give you this. The Bible said here, we ought to say if the Lord will. But He said, now you rejoice in your boasting. He said, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many believes it's good to rejoice in the Lord? How many believes God's people are supposed to rejoice in the Lord? This man Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'll tell you where we're at. If we're not careful, we rejoice in our situation. We rejoice in our circumstance. We rejoice when things are going well. Beloved, that's not what the Bible teaches, because things are not always going to go well. Our circumstances are not always going to be good. There's going to come things in our life, beloved, that are going to be trials and tribulation. But the Lord will never change. You can rejoice in the Lord every day of your life. That will never change. Listen, the Bible is talking about several things here. Let me give you in verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. When we're reaching forth in Christ Jesus, I just want to say this, number one. Here you go, Brother Thurman. We're reaching forth for perfection. Amen. Goes along, Brother Brian, with something Brother Mitchell said. I've heard you repeat it. I don't know that I heard him say it personally. He said, we're not perfect, but we ought to strive for that perfection. Well, the perfection I'm talking about, beloved, reaching forth. And listen, if Brother Mitchell's talking about striving even in this life to be as much like Christ as we possibly can be, beloved, there's one perfection that's waiting that's better than any of that even. And that is when He comes. And beloved, listen, we're reaching forth for perfection. He said, I'm not already perfect, but I follow after, that I might apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So listen, listen, you say, preacher, you excited about 2019? Yep. This could be the year when I'm finally perfected in the Lord Jesus. I saw Brother Joe Bird in a restaurant several months before he went to heaven, sitting in a wheelchair. You know him, I'm sure, didn't you, Brother Don? I saw him in a restaurant, and I said, Brother Joe, I had the privilege to go to Israel with him years ago. It's where I got acquainted with him and Brother Winston Sweeney. Two precious men of God. I saw him in a wheelchair, and I said, Brother Joe, how you doing? He looked up at me and grinned. He said, just a few months from perfection. You say, preacher, that man's lost his mind. No, that man found his mind in Christ Jesus. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible is teaching here as we reach forth, we ought to be reaching forth to perfection. Listen to what the Word of God said in verse number 20 and 21. It said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. I'm telling you, beloved, this could be the year that you and I would be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Exit this old world, this wilderness that we live in down here, and go to our real home. This could be the year, reaching forth to perfection. Let me give you this. I think this is just absolutely awesome. We ought to be reaching forth for a prize. You say, preacher, that just sounds so carnal. It is if you want to look at it that way. But if you want to look at the scripture, beloved, you ought to want a prize when you get home. Watch what the Bible said in the scripture. The Bible said here, I press toward the mark in verse 14 for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he said, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if any man, anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 24, the Bible said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run! That's what the Word of God said, that you may obtain. So run. I got to see something last week. I'm 59 years old now. I didn't know such a thing existed. I didn't know it. But we were down at Dollywood with my son-in-law, with Bob and Charity and their babies, Olivia and Sawyer. We went down to see the lights and rode some of the little rides, and Charity and I, we got up enough nerve to ride one of the big rides. And I thought on that big ride, how awful to go to heaven from this thing. Amen. I'm not as young as I used to be. I promise you that. Amen. Felt like it was going to throw me out of the seat just any moment. And maybe when you can just barely get the seat buckled, the seat belt buckled, you don't belong there. Say amen. I mean, the pressure was on. I didn't know this existed. They have games where it's guaranteed that you win. And I watched. You knew it, didn't you, Brother Preston? I didn't know anything about it. They had balloons that were this big around. And it looked like a little bean bag. I don't know what was in it, but it had something like Velcro on it that was kind of rough. Like it. And that man that was running that game, I found out later why you could guarantee you win. Because when you pay $7 for something that costs 50 cents, guess who's winning? Amen. But I saw that this man, he reached across there and he got Olivia. And he set her plumb across the counter. And she was about that far from that balloon. And she hauled off and throwed that thing and that balloon popped. And Brother Steve, that was one tickled little youngin. You could look back behind her at Sawyer and he's just waiting his turn. Amen. That man reached over there and he got Sawyer. You say, preacher, they got a prize that day. They got to pick out the prize. I just wonder something. I wonder how many of God's people. And Bob, I thought about this as I prepared to preach. They made it so it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to get the prize. Jesus said, Brother Steve, he said, you've been faithful over a few things. I think we've got this thing wrong. I think we've got it in our mind. I remember a story, and I don't remember which two preachers it was. They were talking about being there at the judgment seat of Christ, and I reckon they didn't see doctrinally eye to eye, and they asked this one man, where would he be? And this other man be? He said, oh, he'll be so far ahead of me. And I thought that attitude was wonderful. But let me give you something this morning. He said, because you're faithful over a few things. He said, I'll make you rule over many. He said, enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Brother Thurman, if there's that much joy over a 50-cent prize in a little youngin's heart on earth, you tell me how much joy there's going to be in the children of God's heart over an eternal prize in glory. Now listen to me. I do believe if the Bible teaches this, that the 24 elders laid their crowns at his feet. I don't think it's like we're going to get a crown and all of a sudden we're going to be strutting through heaven, you know what I mean, saying, look at me, look at me. No, I believe we're going to lay it down over there and say, look at him, look at him, look at him. He's the reason I'm here. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say as we reach forth, we ought to live in such a way, walk in such a way, talk in such a way. Let our ears hear in such a way. Let our eyes see in such a way that we're reaching for a prize. That we want to lay it at the feet of the darling Son of God and cry out with all of heaven, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. Let me ask you something. What would it be like? According to the Bible, some are going to leave here that way. They're going to be saved so as by fire. They trusted Jesus and escaped hell. And no prize. No reward. That's what the Bible said. Some's going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. When it passes through the fire, it's going to burn up. Others going to be like gold and silver and precious stones. When it passes through the fire, it just gets purer. It just gets brighter. Beloved friend, think about this morning as we reach forth. The Bible said we're reaching forth for perfection. We're reaching forth for a prize. And then I thought about this. We're reaching forth with the people. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto, what's that next word? We have already attained. Whereto we have already attained. Let, what's that next word? Us. Walk by the same rule. Let, what's that next word? Us, mind the same thing. What's the next word? Brethren. You say, preacher, I don't see what you're seeing right there. Let me just say this. Here's what God put in my heart. We're reaching forth for perfection. We're reaching forth for a prize. But we're reaching forth, Brother Brian, I think you touched on in Sunday school, with a people. In other words, Brother Brian, I'm not the only one reaching. You're reaching with me. Brother Steve, you're reaching with me. All over this congregation, Brother Ron, there's people reaching with me. We're a people. We have fellowship together. We're reaching together. We're reaching in the same direction. We're reaching for the same thing. We want to hear him say one day after a while, well done! Reaching with a people. Listen. I don't know, but I'd like to think that if I had to reach alone, I'd keep reaching. But I'll tell you this, it's a lot easier to reach. When you can come in a place like this on a day you don't feel like reaching, somebody help me. Somebody encourage you. That's why the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's coming. We're reaching forth for perfection, reaching for a prize, and we're reaching with a people. Let me give you this, and I'm done. We're reaching forth not only with a people. Brother Brian, you mentioned this too, I believe. Some way it come out there at the end. Maybe not exactly, but we're also reaching forth. You need to get a hold of this now because you're not going to reach long unless you get a hold of this. We're going to be reaching forth in spite of a people. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Here's what I mean. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. There's a whole lot more people in this world that are enemies of the cross than there are that are allies of the cross. You see, the Bible said here, beloved, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Paul did not rejoice in that there was so many, beloved, that were enemies of Jesus. He wept over it, but he came to the fact and the realization, if I'm going to reach forth, I can't let them stop me. Our young people, It's bad enough. Sometimes, thank God, sometimes God's got Christians planted in the middle schools and the high schools and the elementary schools. I'm talking about even in the public school system. Thank God sometimes, but not all the time. But I'm going to say this, rarely, when you get into that higher education, rarely do you find somebody that believes this old book and believes we ought to walk by this old book. I'm telling you, beloved, there are a lot more enemies of the cross out there than you and I could ever imagine, trying to drag our children's mind and heart away from the things of God. Enemies. People that don't want us to go reach forth, that don't want us to serve God this year. I wish this morning that I had a mirror and I had one in the back of every songbook. I tell you what, everybody just pick up a songbook right now. Okay? Just open that songbook. You got it? And just pretend with me. Just pretend with me for just a moment that that's not a song that you're looking at, but it's a mirror. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're trying to say. I'm trying to say not only are there enemies around us, there's an enemy that we have to deal with every day. Paul said, I die daily. What he was saying in essence, friend, is this. I can't live for him. I can't live for the Savior until I die to myself. They're not both, self and Jesus are not both going to sit on the throne at the same time. One's going to have his way and the other's going to lose. And Paul said, every day of my life, I want to ask you something. There was a time in my life, I don't even remember, I'm serious. I was so happy when the Lord saved me. I know it was quickly, within that first day or so. I don't remember, I know exactly where I was when I got saved. I know exactly what time, it was an evening service. I know the church, I can tell you the date. That doesn't mean you have to be able to do that. I know that, but I'm telling you there was a time shortly after that where I told the Lord, Lord, I'm yours. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I can remember this, going in my pastor's office and said, Pastor, I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I'm not telling you what I'll do or won't do. I said, if it needs to be painted, I'll paint it. If it needs, you need somebody to drive a van, I'll drive a bus. If you need somebody to teach a Sunday school class, I'll teach a Sunday school class. I said, Pastor, I'm just here. And whatever God needs me to do, I want to do it for him. Now listen, I believe the Lord heard that. But I'm just going to let you in on something. I got saved once, Brother Don. That's all I'll ever get saved. I wish, if I could have a wish this morning, that just one time is all it would take to set my flesh aside for the rest of my life. I wish there was some prayer or something, Brother Thurman, that I wouldn't have to die daily. I could just say, Lord, right now I just want to die for the rest of my life. But when I get up every morning, there he is. You can shine your halo if you want to, but I'm not there yet. That's what Paul said. He said, Brother Gary, I'm not already attained. I'm not there yet. But that ain't going to stop me from reaching and pressing on. Help me this morning. Thank the Lord. Whew. Let me read this and I'm done. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting. another year with Thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of Thy face. Another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for Thee. I don't say this morning because these men are sitting here. Brother Ralph, Brother Grizzle, Brother Don, Brother Houston, Brother Joe, Brother Rose, I mean this, Brother Rose. I look at you men, and you know what swells up in my heart? I can make it. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There's some people that's been down this trail a whole lot further than I've been. And their presence in the house of God says to the rest of us, keep reaching. You can make it. You can bring glory. You can bring honor to God. I want to say this morning, with no disrespect to those that I just called out, we can't make it without His presence. We absolutely have to have His presence in order to make it. Reaching forth. How many feels like reaching? Feel like running that race, Brother Brian? Let's see if we can't get one together, especially for you. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian will whoop them bad. Amen. He's got that grit. I like that grit. Amen. I believe his wife's got more grit than he does. I'd hate to make her M.A.D. Some of y'all don't get that, but anyway, that's all right. You had to be here. I mean, it's glad you come. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, our Lord, to stand in the house of God. And Lord, as we get ready to have this moment of invitation, I pray you work at heart. Lord, I've been looking at expressions on faces this morning. There's some folk that don't like what they see when they look in that mirror. They're struggling with some things, Lord. God, I pray you'd give us victory. I pray, dear Lord, for that one that's here today that does not know for sure if they died today that heaven would be their home. Lord, they can know that before they leave this building. They'll never find that in religion, but they can find that in a relationship, in a new birth, in being born again. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless in a special way.